Blog Talk Radio.
Night, and that sound means it's time for the Pugilist Corner. My name is James King, and I'm your producer. And right now, let me introduce you to our host, world-renowned boxing writer, ring announcer, and singer of the national anthem, Mr. Joseph Aaron. Joseph, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I am doing great, brother, and thank you so much for that awesome introduction. But, guys, we have a very packed show for everyone tonight, so let's get right down to it. In the Pugilist Corner, once again, we're going to be featuring expert trainer and Kronk gym leader, Mr. Javon Sugar. Hell, Sugar, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing very well, Joseph. How are you?
Well, I think you know the answer to that, my friend. But I tell you what, Sugar, this is an exciting time to be a Kronk Gym fan, brother. You know, you've got your first world champion under your reign as Kronk Gym leader, and he's got a big, big title defense on September 28th against former IBF champion Tavares Cloud. And I know you've been doing a lot of research, and you're very familiar with this gentleman from the amateurs. What is your assessment of Tavares Cloud going into this big, big title defense?
Well, Cloud, he's he's a big puncher. He's one of the more powerful guys in the light heavyweight division. And, he's just coming off of a loss to a Bernard Hopkins. And, I think that he's probably more determined than ever to get in there with Adonis on September the 28th and win him a championship. So I believe it's going to be a tough fight, between those two guys. They're pretty much almost the same height, same arm reach, same build, and both of them are extremely exciting fighters. So I think it's going to be a great fight for September the 28th. It'll be in Adonis' hometown, Montreal, once again, which I'm happy of that. It's always an excellent fight crowd. And Tavares Cloud, I know he's going to come and he's going to try to take the belt from Adonis. And, I only want him to bring his A game, and Adonis bring his A game. And, I'm sure that, Adonis will come out victorious that night. And I can't predict anything on how the fight will happen or but one thing for sure, we're always looking for a knockout. So with that being said, I believe it'll be a knockout in the fight.
Well, and that's one of the things that HBO seems to really love about this matchup. And that seems to be the strategy. You look at HBO's strategy in trying to really promote the big men of boxing now. And on that same night, well, you're going to be seeing, this is going to be a great fight card. You're going to be seeing Hay versus Tyson Fury across the pond is going to be on the same broadcast. You're going to be seeing, obviously, Adonis versus Tavares Cloud. And then you're going to be seeing the return of Chavez Jr. versus Brian Vetta. Is there any pressure to actually, be the best fight of the night? Is there any added pressure there?
Joseph, it's a good question. And I didn't know that they were going to have Tyson Fury and Hay on that one also. I knew about the Chavez, but those are three great fights for that night of September 28th. On HBO. So, with that being said, I don't think that there is no pressure, going into the fight. Our job is to fight Tavares Cloud and to go in there for a knockout and to win the fight. And that's just what Adonis does. You know, he's an exciting fighter. He just trains and works hard and let the punches do the talking. So both of those guys are big punchers in that division, and anything can happen. So I think, personally, I think that would be the more exciting fight other than next to Chavez and and a Brian Vera, because both of those guys are actually warriors also. Mm. And the fight which you have with David Haye and Tyson Fury, it should be a pretty good fight. Those guys can talk pretty good. And not just to say they can talk, but those guys, they can fight too. But they talk more of the talk than Cloud and Stevenson or Chavez and Vera. So it makes it more exciting of a night for that, for boxing. And I think they'll all be great fights.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think HBO is really trying to stack the deck here because of all of the great fights that Showtime and Golden Boy Promotions have been on lately. And, you know, September 14th, they're going to be staging that huge pay-per-view. But HBO, I think with this fight card, this triple header from three different cities, I think they're really trying to make a statement saying that, look, guys, this is still the biggest stage of boxing. You can't compete. You can put anyone you want on Showtime, and this is still the home of boxing. Don't you think that's the case?
I think so, and not to try to correct you, but I just thought about it when you said it. Not just three different cities. This is three different countries. You got Canada, and then you got Europe, and you got United States. So you're getting fights from all over the world, great fights from all over the world by HBO. And it's something that, you know, these two networks are competing, but, you know, it works well for both networks. Still HBO being the premier championship boxing channel for their long history and their telecast and their star and expert announcers. With that being said, HBO has a great night, and I know Golden Boy goes with Showtime, but you know, with something like that opening up, you know, it opens the doors for HBO to do something like this, where they can broadcast from three different countries around the world and not be, you know, locked into one main promoter, so to say. So they're getting a lot of good fighters and a lot of good boxing on their network because of that.
You know, and that's so true, and you're absolutely right. I mean, boxing has turned into a very much so a global sport, you know, and I think HBO understands that now. And we've seen Sergey Kovalev versus Nathan Cleverley being broadcast via satellite on the same evening. You know, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be a special fight. And I want to get back to Adonis Stevenson versus Tavris Cloud. Now, one of the reasons why a lot of eyes are going to be focused on this fight especially is because of Sergey Kovalev's brilliant performance in Cardiff, Wales, just last week against Nathan Cleverley, in which he looked to be just a beast. He looked to be a monster in the ring, becoming the new WBO title holder in that weight division. HBO obviously wants to put that fight, the Sergey Kovalev, in with the winner of this fight. What were your thoughts on Sergey Kovalev's performance? And I know you don't want to look past Tavris, but do you like that fight with Adonis and Sergey Kovalev, sir?
I thought Sergey put on a beautiful performance, very gutsy in every way, not just the fight, but to go over and to somebody else's backyard and to fight him. That's one of the best ways to win a championship. You know, of course, being at home is always something that's great. But to go in somebody else's backyard, where I guess everything is supposed to be stacked against you, and you go in there and get a knockout, you go in there and take the crowd away from the champion in his hometown, and, you know, almost like the movie Gladiator, where you go in and make the crowd cheer for you at some point. I mean, they didn't have anything to cheer about. they didn't have anything to cheer about too much. You know, if one guy's going to punch it, they're not going to all just sit there and start crying and booing. Now, those were great punches that he was throwing and catching him with, and they don't have any choice but to say oohs and ahs. So I thought it was great to go into, you know, his backyard and to, you know, win that championship. And a lot of things, I guess other things that took place, you know, for that fight or before that fight, for that fight to even happen. Well, it was all, you know, it was strategy. It was a chess move and it was a gamble, but, you know, they obviously knew something and they went in there and capitalized on it. I think Sergey is he's a good boxer and like he's mentioned, HBO, you know, trying to, you know, maybe build something like that with Sergey and Adonis. Sergio and Adonis, you know, it brings excitement to boxing. Those two guys are big punches in the division. They're both exciting fighters, and that's what boxing needs. But a matchup with those two guys in the future would be great for boxing. Just keep those guys busy and, you know, keep promoting them and keep them, you know, out there so the public can see. And you know, they're being seen worldwide, so it's not like they're just being seen in the U.S. One thing you have to look at is Adonis. It's very rare for his situation. He is a Canadian, but he's Haitian, and he boxed out of the Kronk Gym. So Adonis actually has three countries behind him. Whenever he fights, he's got all of Canada watching, he's got all of Haiti watching, and he's got United States watching, mainly because he boxes out of the Detroit Kronk Gym, you know, representing the gym full of lots of legends. And that's very exciting to boxing when he steps into that ring with those gold trunks on, like he did the night of June the 8th. You know, people just felt something special and electric when everything happened, including the knockout.
Boy, that's very well said, Sugar. And, you know, I tell you what, one of the things, and it's funny, you saw Tavris Cloud in his last meeting or his last bout against Bernard Hopkins. You brought that up, in which he lost a unanimous decision. He seemed to show Bernard Hopkins an unusual amount of respect and really wasn't successful in closing the distance and really imposing his will. He allowed Bernard Hopkins to dictate the pace of the fight. Obviously, you're not going to see that when he fights Adonis Stevenson. And a lot of that has to do with something that happened before you and Emmanuel started to, before you guys started to work with Adonis, and that was the knockout at the hands of Darnell Boone, a fight in which he avenged his loss. But still, everyone looks at that knockout. You know Tavris is, and he's going to go in and try to test his chin. I don't expect to see him that kind of show him that kind of respect. Do you?
I think he'll be aggressive. He'll be an aggressive fighter. And as far as, you know, the respect for Bernard Hopkins is a great champion. You know, he's at an older age in his life, and he's still able to beat the younger guys. Bernard is a very, very smart fighter, and I think he's getting a lot smarter because he's not able to do a lot of things physically that he used to do, which enables him to think more and be more physical. And that's one of the key things that, you know, helped him to beat Cloud that night. As well, as I have to remember to mention, as he beat Jean Pascal mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of that plays a part, and I don't want to say that these guys are weak mentally, you know, as fighters, but Bernard is obviously more of a superior mental thinker, you know, as he showed when he performed against Pascal and Cloud. He just made the younger guys look like they were his children, almost. To say, you know, they followed him. He made those guys do what he wanted them to do, and kept total control of the fight.
You know, that's a very, very good point. So let's talk about Adonis' mental state at this time. He's coming off of the biggest win of his career. He is the WBC light heavyweight champion, the ring recognized light heavyweight champion. Does he have that mentality going into this fight as the current reigning defending champion?
And that's, I guess I walked into that question when I started talking about the mental. I said, no, that was coming from you. But Adonis is very, very mentally tough and prepared for each fight. He was mentally prepared to go in as a challenger against Chad Dawson. And I say he's even more prepared mentally and focused to go in as a champion, knowing that he has it and everybody's gunning for it. Because his championships, the same way and the same attitude that he had going in there fighting Chad Dawson. So that's something that he knows is in his mind every day that he trains. And I watch him get better and better each day we train. This training camp was different than the previous training camps because he had just had his fight and he was right back in the gym training. And when we got into camp, he was already sharp. So we didn't have to go over certain little things that we normally go over. We come right into the camp moving forward with the game plan.
That is tremendous. That's great to hear, brother. I tell you what, man, I bring this up just for fun, man, because you know what's amazing is very few trainers actually take the kind of care and dedication that you actually have for all of your fighters. And no disrespect to any other trainers. I think that's just a testament to your work ethic and how much you actually care about your fighters. But Adonis lately has been tweeting all the food, man, that you've been making him, brother. It looks awesome. I didn't know you could cook, brother. Come on now.
Yeah, well, one thing I could tell you, Joseph, I was taught to do everything. Emmanuel told me to learn how to do everything. You don't want to have to depend on somebody else to do the job for you, for your fighter. It's like if you have a baby, I mean, you have to take care of that child. You don't have to expect anybody else to do it for you, a babysitter or anything. It's your child, and like you said, you know, you have a love for it, and you take that into consideration and put all your heart into it. So me cooking for Adonis is me putting my heart and everything into making him a champion superstar in boxing. I've seen a lot of things that happened in, you know, being around Emmanuel with, you know, wins and losses that he's had in his career. And those are things we talked about, and they're in my head as to not make those mistakes. And he was telling me, you know, his mistakes for a reason. So I won't have to go and make the same mistakes that he made and learn from his mistakes as he had to learn through his career.
Wow, that's a great point, man. And I have to ask you, this past Thursday in New York City, the very first fight card, I guess, from Dimitri Salida, his promotional group, and you had a young super middleweight actually fighting on that card. It was Anthony Barnes. How would you assess his performance in his four-round fight?
I thought Anthony did well. It was some things, obviously, I didn't like because that's just the way I am. I like things to be perfect. And it's hard to get those perfect fights like Adonis Stevenson and Chad Dawson. And that's one of the fights that there was no mistake. I didn't see him make any mistakes. And that's something that I remember forever. But with Anthony Barnes, he's a young fighter, and he did good. He made some mistakes, but I saw a lot of good things that he did, a lot of things that we worked on. And the thing that I could see most is that he learned from that fight, from his mistakes. And, you know, he hasn't fought since last October, so it's almost been a year since he had fought. And that being, you know, said, I have to look at him not being active and just getting back in the ring. And I know he was excited. And he wanted to do well in New York City, one of the meccas of boxing. You know, being on the fight card of Salida Promotions, and also getting himself ready to fight you know, several more times. He's scheduled to fight September the 13th in Detroit at the Masonic Temple, and he's also scheduled to fight September the 28th in Montreal on the Donna Stevenson undercard, because he is one of the main sparring partners for Adonis Stevenson, and he is the main sparring partner with Adonis in every one of his camps. You know, he boxes as a softball, and he boxes as a right-handed fighter. And he's got, you know, he has a lot of good basics, and he showed those that night on Thursday when he went four rounds with a tough opponent who actually, you know, he came to win. He wasn't a guy that come to lay down. And those are the fights that I want to put him in there with, to make him learn and to grow into a champion.
Well, I tell you what, Sugar, for some strange reason, man, time always flies whenever you're on the air, my friend. Can you believe we've just eaten up 20 minutes, my friend?
Hey, it's those questions that you ask me and the way I answer them, because I'm learning from you. I'm still in training. I'm learning how to be a radio announcer, an announcer. I'm learning how to be eventually I want to learn how to sing the Star Spangled Banner.
Well, I tell you what, man, I've offered my vocal lessons and vocal mentoring to Team Canelo Alvarez. Boy, if you saw All Access, man, this guy needs it. So I'll offer the same to you, brother. If you ever want to learn how to sing opera, let me know, my friend. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, I like learning, so if you can teach me some opera, I am willing to learn.
Oh, I just pick a line.
I don't know when I'll use it. But
can sing the Star Spangled Banner before your events, brother. How's that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you better start teaching me right now, then.
Oh, stop it, man. Well, I tell you what, Sugar, it's always a privilege and a pleasure to speak with you, man, on the Pugilist Corner. You're always very entertaining and very insightful. We love featuring you on the show, man. And so please come back after your man takes care of business on September 28th. We expect to have you on the Tuesday after, my friend.
Okay. Well, thank you, Joseph. It's always a pleasure to be on. And I was cooking while we were talking, so I can cook and talk on the phone and do interviews at the same time.
Oh, that takes a lot of talent. I hear salmon is on the menu tonight, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to make some salmon, coho salmon from out in the sea, and some squash, some vegetables, and some fresh-picked corn from here in Traverse City where everything is fresh.
That is tremendous, man. Well, you guys have a great camp, and we look forward to seeing the best version of Adonis on September 28th in his first title defense against Tavares Clout on that tremendous triple header on HBO Boxing September 28th. Sugar, thank you so much once again for being on the air, sir. We really appreciate your insight. You have a great evening, brother. And again, good luck to all of you guys in camp, my friend.
Okay. Thank you, Joseph. And thank you once again for the invite, as always.
Take care, my friend. You have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, I tell you what, guys. Sugar is always, boy, he's a fascinating guy. You know, not only is he teaching the sweet science, but he's also cooking for his entire stable of fighters there. Boy, that's no easy task. But, guys, we will keep you up to date on how that camp is coming along before the big September 28th. Triple header, and credit to HBO for, once again, as Sugar so eloquently pointed out, it's going to be coming from three different countries: Carson, California, Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and London, England. So it should be a tremendous evening of boxing September 28th on HBO, the biggest stage of boxing. But guys, a fighter who is also going to be making his comeback on the undercard of the StubHub Center in Carson, California. This is one of the most gifted super featherweights in the world. He hails from Las Vegas, Nevada. The incomparable Mr. Diego Magdaleno. Diego, are you there, sir?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. That was an awesome introduction, by the way.
Oh, well, I tell you what, you deserve it, my friend. You're one of the more talented fighters in the entire
awesome,
world
you.
Of boxing, my friend. And I tell you what, how exciting is it to be fighting on that huge fight card? Chavez Jr. versus Brian Vetta. All eyes are going to be focused on that city on that given evening.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a big event. You know, they got a lot of great fighters on that card as well, and I'm glad to be, you know, one of them. I've been looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to getting back in the ring and, you know, showing my talents.
Oh,
especially
absolutely.
Now that I'm with the Diaz brothers, you know. It's going to be
a different
Diego in there.
That's right. And I was just going to ask you, how has it been fighting under the tutelage of the great Mr. Joel Diaz? I mean, this guy doesn't get enough credit for being the kind of trainer, motivator, fight coach. I mean, he's a man that wears many hats in the gym now, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a talented person. You know, he does it all from cuts to coaching to nutritionist. There's nothing this guy doesn't do. You know, I'm glad to have, come across him. You know, I've known of Joel and Antonio Diaz, you know, from the amateurs. But now to finally work with them and see how they work down in India, it's crazy. These guys put us through hell. My brother as well, Jesse.
Yep.
Jesse just got came off of his fight on Saturday, this past Saturday. You know, third round
That's
knockout.
That's right. But you got a third round knockout. That's right. How would you assess your brother's performance?
Oh, like a professional. This kid went in there and you know he made no mistakes in my eyes. He did everything he had to do, and coach was still on him about it. You know, he's still grilling him for the little things he did. You know, and that's what we look forward into a coach. You know, to really to look at us and make sure we're doing everything right. And you know, we're thankful, both me and Jesse. We're thankful, and we appreciate, you know, the work and the time that they're putting into it.
Wow. You know, tell me if this is true. I don't know if you've been able to because of the his last fight being so brutal. Have you had the opportunity to spar yet with Omar Figueroa?
I have. I did. And we sparred a couple times before his last fight, you know, and Omar is – such a great person outside of the ring and inside the ring. You know, he can do it all. This kid, he's a tough kid. You know, that fight, I give him a lot of credit, and to Joel and his corner too, because he battled a big cut in that fight, and you know they managed to hang through and fight through that, you know, that tough fight. You know, much credit to his opponent as well. You know, that was an awesome fight, and I hope, you know, they get, you know, a lot of credit for what they did in there, those two guys.
Boy, absolutely. So, yeah, and Omar complained that he did hurt both hands in that fight. He complained afterwards. And it seemed to really, you know, temper his power a little bit. Now, Joel actually tells us that he is the hardest puncher that he has ever worked with, pound for pound, anyway. Does Omar really punch that hard, man?
Yeah, that kid, he's got a solid – he's got, like, heavy hands. You know, sparring with him, I had to be on, on my A game on point, you know, getting in there and getting out and, you know, using my knowledge in the ring, you know, because he's a little awkward at times, the way his stance is. But once he lands a shot, man, you can feel him. He is a puncher.
Wow. So, you know, and you knew I was going to bring this up, Diego. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't, my friend. But I have to tell you quite honestly, on April 6th, 2013, from Macau, China, I tell you what, it really hurt my heart watching that, man. I was really pulling for you, my friend, as a lot of us were. What happened against Roman Martinez? You seem to be really looking comfortable and dictating the pace of the fight until you got floored in the fourth, and then everything just seemed to change after that. What happened?
You know, I was in there. I was trying to find, you know, find that comfort. You know, I was catching the guy. I was moving. But there was a lot of things that, you know, I think, not to blame my corner, but let me just say, if I had Joao in my corner, I would have knocked that guy out. A few things that you know, as advice, as what my corner was telling me was, you know, to keep the game plan, you know, keep sticking and moving. And I looking at that fight afterwards, I think if I would have applied pressure on this guy, I would have taken him out, you know, if I would have kept coming forward on him, you know. But, you know, we were already in the fight, and I didn't want to change anything up. You know, my coach was confident at the time, you know, to stick to my boxing, the moving, and you know, using angles. And I don't know, for some reason, it just didn't feel right.
Yeah, you know, everyone has a bad day at the office. And, you know, that's very interesting that you say that, because we just saw that this past Saturday when Abner Mattes was very shocked and surprised in the first round by a really tough fight veteran like Johnny Gonzalez. And it's almost the same situation. Why are you going to elect to box a guy who's already seemed to wilt under pressure? You know, I think that was the case with Roman Martinez as well.
Yeah. And I have, like, working with Joel Diaz, with Antonio, they've brought a lot more out of me that, you know, they really made me feel comfortable working the inside, you know, as well as boxing, you know. So now that, you know, a lot of people look at me and like, oh, you know, he's just a boxer. Well, Joel and Antonio, they've done a tremendous job with me and finding my timing and distance, you know, where I can get away from punches and still stay in you know, within reach to counterattack. And I think that's made me a very dangerous fighter, you know, as well, you know, sparring in the ring with these guys. I've been doing it, and I feel really comfortable doing it. So that's one of the reasons why I can't wait to get in the ring September 28th and show everyone that, you know, that I can punch and I can fight on the inside as well as box. There's a lot
more
to me.
Well, you definitely have the athleticism, Diego, to pull off multiple fight styles. I mean, and, you know, that's really important. And Joel's such a smart guy. He realizes, hey, you know what, this kid has all the skills to not only fight from a distance, fight from mid-range, but fight on the inside as well. We just need to get him comfortable where he doesn't always look just to tie up or skate away from harm's way, but to fire back in retaliation and get that respect. So is that the case? Are you prepared to do that? Because Edgar Rio Valle, he's a tough fight veteran with over 40 fights on his resume. This is a very tough guy who's going to keep coming forward, has a good chin, is going to seemingly, I mean, ostensibly, just looking at this, he looks like he's going to give you some rounds, and he's going to pressure you. Are you prepared for that kind of fight?
I am so ready for that type of fight. You know, I always go in the ring prepared, you know, to go the distance. But I think the little things that we've been correcting in the gym is going to make a big difference. It's shown a lot in my sparring and doing mitt work with Joel, and I feel a big difference, you know, in my punching power. You know, like I'm not lunging in. I'm really sitting on my punches, and I'm landing hard shots. And Joel's, you know, he's been telling me the whole time. He goes, "You can punch, dude. You can punch." You know, and with that, you know, it just raises my confidence. And if you know Joel, he can talk to you and motivate you, and he can bring, you know, the lion inside of any fighter, you know, and that's one thing that I love about him. And he can really, you know, get you enthused and you know, like, out, get ready to, you know, to go to war, you know. He's got that in him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Joel is one of the best motivators in the entire sport, and, you know, you you know, that's one of the reasons why he's one of the more highly touted, I think, up-and-coming fight trainers. I mean, he was a great fighter as well. That's always an added bonus when you have someone who's been in the ring and who's been through it all. And you know he's not just telling you things. He's been through all of this.
Yep.
I'm sure that helps out as well, doesn't it, Diego?
It does. You know, I can respect someone like that, you know, who's been in there, who knows, who can feel the same thing I'm feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, a lot of people are talking about, and right now it's in current negotiations, Mikey Garcia taking on Mr. Roman Martinez. If you are successful on September 28th, and I'm sure you're going to be, you sound very energized about your new
oh, yeah.
mentor and working with Joel Diaz. Are you interested in a possible rematch with Roman Martinez to get the exact that kind of revenge?
I would love to, and that's one of the things that Joel did mention. You know, after you know a couple of weeks of training, you know he brought that up. He goes, hey, you know, if it's not you know later on down the road, would you be interested in fighting you know a rematch with Roman Martinez? And my exact words were hell yes. You know, I'd love to get back in there. You know, and just to get that because I know I can beat this guy. You know, and that's one thing that I want to get, you know, off my shoulder.
Yeah, you know, that's very important. And we've seen that recently with Adonis Stevenson, actually, before his big fight with Chad Dawson. He said it was very important to him personally, for him mentally to avenge
yes.
his knockout loss against Darnell Boone. And he
mm-hmm.
did it, and he said it felt like a huge weight lifted off of his shoulders. Do you expect that same thing to come about? And do you feel that you're really going to need this to move forward mentally as a prize fighter?
I think it would just, like you said, take a lot of weight off your shoulders. I know as a fighter I can move forward. You know, I think I have already. But it's just, it's that, that's something inside you that you really want to go, you know, you hold on to, you know, and you take it with you. So to get back in the ring with Roman Martinez and give him the correct ass whooping that he needs is a, you know pleasurable for me. You know, I can go and get in the ring and do my thing and do what I know that I can do because I personally I know, but I want to prove it.
You know, and that's why we love you, brother. That's what makes you a fighter, man. So I tell you what, from this point forward. You know, it's obviously first things first, you want to take care of business on September 28th, but how soon do you see yourself getting back in the championship picture at 130? Because we just saw another very talented IBF title holder at the 130-pound weight division that I think has gone largely unnoticed. That's Mr. Arenas Mendez, who fights now for Iron Mike Productions. Were you able to catch that fight on Friday and you saw him in a very, very intriguing bout against the always tough Harash Usmani?
Yes. I did catch a couple of rounds of that fight. I thought it was, in California with my brother. I checked it out. And, I mean, those guys were you know, Usmani was really coming after this guy, you know, after Mendez, right?
Mendez.
And it wasn't maybe like a couple of years ago. I was actually sparring with Mendez, and I did really good with him. So I mean, that if that's if we can work something out, you know, I'm not looking past anybody for the 28th. But you know, if you know everything turns out well, I would love to get you know in the ring with this guy with Mendez. I would love it.
Oof, boy, that would be a tremendous fight. I mean, it'd be a great style matchup, too. And, you know, first of all, you know, that it's really tough. And I really feel for Arenas Mendez because he's a guy who knocked out Juan Carlos Salgado in tremendous fashion. In his first title defense, he takes on one of the tougher, more avoided guys in the division. A guy who knows how to box, knows how to punch, and he smothers your offense. A very, very tough guy. Unfortunately, Iron Mike Productions and former Equiniti Sports, they don't have very many options because they don't fight under, say, the top-ranked promotional banner.
Right.
Has it been a lot easier for you in terms of exposure, in terms of actually you know, having guys like Bruce Trampler, having guys like Bob Arum really help cultivate your career, has that been a lot easier for you mentally?
I mean, we all have to work our way up there, but, I mean, it is good to know that Top Rank has done a wonderful job with myself and my brother as, you know, putting us out there and, you know, getting us on the right cards. You know, I'm going to be on the Chavez Jr. card. You know, that's going to be an awesome card, you know.
Right.
And Top Rank has, you know, they have what it takes, you know, to put me and expose me out there, to put my talent out there in front of, you know, these large crowds. So, I mean,
well, I tell you,
I'm happy with Top Rank as far, you know, as well as, you know, my new management. I feel like I'm going through a lot of new things, but Top Rank has been there since day one. You know, I have I'm with Team Espinoza, with Frank Espinoza and Team Diaz, and I think my career is going to jumpstart from here, you know, to new level, a whole new level.
Well, I tell you what, you were great before, and we're looking for even greater things on September 28th. Guys, it's going
to
be at the StubHub Center in Carson, California. Young Diego Magdaleno is going to be taking on Tough Fight veteran Edgar Riovalle. And, Diego, we wish you the best of luck, my friend. We want to give you your final thoughts and words to all of your fans who are going to be rooting for you on September 28th, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned and follow me at Diego Magdaleno on Twitter. And I'll keep you guys updated on what's going on in my camp. And, you know, I'm just telling you guys, I'm going to be a whole different fighter. You know, these guys are not transforming in my style. They're just adding more to my arsenal. So I'm looking forward to it and, you know, expect a great fight.
Well, we love your confidence, Diego, man, and we wish you the best of luck, brother. We're going to be watching, man, and we hope to have you back on the show as soon as you take
Anytime.
Care of business on September 28th, my friend.
Anytime. It's always a pleasure. Thank you guys for everything.
Thank you, Diego. You have a great evening, brother, and have a great camp, man.
Right on. Thank you.
Well, guys, that was the slick southpaw, now turned inside proficient fighter by help with via Mr. Joel Diaz of Coachella. But, guys, right now we have a very special treat for everybody. We are going to be speaking with one of the brightest stars to come ever out of the D.C. area, proud fighter of the DMV, Gary Russell Junior, JK, is the incomparable Mr. Russell currently in the queue, sir?
Yeah, yes, baby.
Ah, Gary, it's been a while. Thank you so much for being on the show, sir. It's great to have you back.
Man, it's great for you guys. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I tell you what, Gary, it's been an interesting road up to this point now, hasn't it? And what's amazing is, I think it's a little strange. Well, not a little strange when you consider the nature of fight fans. They can't wait to see their favorite fighters step in the ring and face the best in their respective division. We know that you've had several physical ailments. First and foremost, how are your hands and how is everything physically at this point?
The hands is doing good. With my last fight, I'm not gonna say it was 100%. It definitely, you know, held me back a little. They said it was gonna take 6 to 8 weeks for rehab for it to actually get better. It definitely took much longer than 6 to 8 weeks. It wasn't till maybe 8 to almost 9 weeks before I was able to actually go jogging. You know, any shaking, vibration of the hand, it was, you know, I definitely felt it. So with this fight, I was still a little hesitant, a little concerned on it. It was equivalent to stepping on a piece of glass, and after you take it out, you're still a little cautious about stepping down on it, you know. So it was equivalent to that. So right now, I'll say it's about maybe 75%.
Wow. Well, we hope it gets better, and you know, and certainly Showtime and Golden Boy. I'm sure, and that's one of the reasons why they had no problem, you know, not televising your last bout, because they realized that it was merely a tune-up to test out those hands and your health. Was that the case on August 9th?
That was definitely the case. It was definitely the case. You wanted to get a feel of what the hand is, you know, how I respond. You know, we do all of our training in 20-ounce gloves, you know. Mm-hmm. Spawn work, bag work, mitts, everything in 20-ounce gloves. So it's a big difference when you take them 20s off and the extra padding and cushion and you put on these 8 ounces.
Oh, that's right, man.
So it's a big difference. So, yeah, that was definitely the situation. Unfortunately, I wish you guys could defend it. I still felt it was a spectacular, you know, the typical Gary Russell Jr. performance.
Well, you know, and what I can't understand, Gary, and it has to be frustrating for you. A lot of boxing writers who claim to know the sport and be sympathetic to the fighter's plea, why on earth, knowing all of the physical ailments that you've been through and been suffering through for the past, seems like it's been almost a year, it's been one thing or another, why on earth are they being so heavily scrutinizing on your career and your path of progress?
It's a couple reasons why. One, you have to really understand just the sport. And, you know, the people that are talking, they're not saying these things because they feel as though that I'm an overrated fighter. They feel as though that I possess the skills and the skill level and the qualities to compete with the best. You know, and just to see that it's not happening, we are sports fans. At the end of the day, I'm an entertainer. It's my job to entertain the fans. The fans want to see the best fights made, you know, and when they think of the best fight, Gary Russell Jr.'s name is mentioned in the same intro. So I definitely understand where these guys are coming from, but at the same token, they have to understand that we only have one shot at this, fighters. You know, you can only go as long as your body allows you to go. The ultimate goal as a fighter is to prepare for our retirement. We can't do this very long. You know, so it's my job to prepare for my retirement, make sure that I have the financial stability that I want when my career is over. And we got one shot at it. So we want to make sure that we cross our T's and dot our I's all the way around the board. You know, I have a big family. You know, I'm the oldest of 6 boys, wife, and 3 kids. You know, so I have a lot of people depending on me. You know, and it's my job to make sure I make smart and wise decisions, because my decisions doesn't only affect me, but it affects them as well. You know, and a lot of people don't understand that. But it's all good. Sooner or later, a lot of questions will be answered.
I love it. You know, and what's amazing is people have to understand this as well. You know, yes, we can't wait to see Gary Russell fight Mr. Johnny Gonzalez for the WBC featherweight title. That's a fight that can and should be made. But we also want to see the best version of Gary Russell in the ring. That's what all the fans expect. And if that's not what you can give them at this time, then they have to understand that. Now I'm going to ask you, Gary, in a couple of months, you know, Golden Boy, I'm sure they're already approaching you about a big fight by the end of the year between Mr. Russell Jr. and Johnny Gonzalez, the new WBC featherweight champion. Is that a fight that can be made by the end of the year, my friend?
It is. It is a fight that can be made depending on the circumstances. What I mean is, to a lot of fans, they think that it's just boxing. It's definitely politics and everything that comes behind the scenes that people really don't see. Is it physically possible for that fight to be made? Of course it is. Is it a fight that I want? Definitely. I feel as though that I will fight this guy and it'll be the same performance that you guys are used to seeing me do. You know, nothing more, nothing less. I will reduce him to maybe a C or a D-class fighter. that's my just my personal opinion. Other people might feel otherwise. That's just how I feel about it. But at the same token, it is a business. It's a business outside of fighting. We have to be businessmen first and fighters second. A lot of fighters make that flaw, you know, and you got to be businessmen first. If everything fits right as far as contracts and the finances and all of this lines up the proper way, most definitely that's the fight we want. And if it was up to me, I would fight Johnny. I will take his title. I don't feel as though that I don't feel as though Abner Morris, you know, lost any fans or his following, because it's not like that he was getting beat up for 12 rounds. He just got hit with a shot. It happens. Mm-hmm. It's part of the sport. If I could talk to Abner, I'll tell him, keep your head up, stay in the gym, stay focused. Remember what you do this for. It was a lot of back and forth action between me and Abner, you know, over the media, because that was the fight that we wanted to get made. And, of course, he felt certain ways, but we share the same. We have a lot of things in common. You know, the fact that we want to provide for our family. We want to give our family the best that we can give them. And this is one of the ways. So I understand that, and I respect him for that. Keep your head up. Stay in the gym. Get back on your grind. Don't lose focus because of this mishap. There's always obstacles that's put in our way. Stay focused, because if I do fight Johnny, I'm going to take that title and my very next fight. I would love for it to be Abner. Come on. I'll give you a chance to get your belt back.
I tell you what, Gary, you're mature beyond your years, brother. And what's amazing is very few fighters, trainers, understand the business aspect of boxing. And it's obvious that you do very well. And what's amazing is we saw a good friend of yours currently go overseas in a business move. And it's pretty obvious it was in a business move to fight Kubrat Kulev less than 6 weeks after his very hard-fought victory over the hard-punching David Price. Did you have a chance to speak with Tony about this, about, hey, man, it's a little too soon, or do you just say, hey, you know what, this is a good money fight. This is another payday for me. I'm going to go ahead and take it, because at almost 42 – I don't know how many more opportunities there are going to be for me.
Man,
did you get a chance
to
talk to Tony, man, about this?
I honestly didn't. I respected the fact that he did take that fight at that short notice, and the reason is this. I have a lot of guys. I'm not the type of person that have to learn from my own mistakes. I've been taught that a long time ago. I have a lot of people that was in front of me that has – already went through life and made mistakes that I can use as examples. You know, just in the D.C. area alone, you had Mark Johnson, Sean Bay Mitchell, Daryl Coley, Keith Holmes, William Joppy. I mean, the list goes on and on. And these guys, they had the opportunity to make money, and they made it. And it was fast money, and now when their career is over with, they have nothing to show for it. It was maybe four fights in. I say I was 4-0 at the time, and I don't want to call the fighter's name out, but it was definitely a fighter from here. And I seen him, and I was blown away by the vehicle that he was driving. I was blown away of the condition of the vehicle that it was he was driving. My vehicle was better than his. And I'm like, this makes no sense. He just fought for a nice chunk of change. It makes no sense. Either two things happen. Either he got work for his money, or his money management skills is completely out of whack. Either way, it would never happen to me. From this point on forth, I promise to myself that I'm going to prepare myself for my retirement of the sport. You know, I'm a young guy. I'm not flashy. And flamboyant, you're not going to see me walking around here with a million chains and et cetera. You know, I want to invest. My job is property. I need to get this property. We got to prepare for our retirement, you know. So we all for it, man. We focus inside and out of the ring. I have a wonderful team surrounding me. Man, we hungry. We focused. We ready.
Well, I tell you what, you sound focused, man, and it's been a long time coming. I know your fans have been really anticipating your first title opportunity, and we hope that it happens this year. We hope it's against Johnny Gonzalez. I think everyone wants to see that fight happen. But again, we want to see the best version of Gary Russell in the ring, and we know that you don't want to disappoint any of your fans and show them anything less. But I tell you what, Gary, every single time I talk to you, I'm always very impressed at your strategic prowess. Man, your dad's done a great job in bringing, you know, in cultivating the man that has become Gary Russell Jr. I have to tell you, man, I don't know which way to go on this upcoming fight between Canelo Alvarez and Floyd Mayweather Jr., my friend. In the last 4 or 5 minutes of your segment, I'd like you to break down, if you possibly could, Floyd Mayweather, Canelo Alvarez. How do you see this fight playing out? What strategy, if you were in the corner of Chepo and Canelo Alvarez, what strategy would you implement to try to be most effective against the enigma that is Floyd Mayweather Jr.?
Oh, I want to be brutally honest.
Let's hear it, brother. Between you and I, man. Don't worry about all of our listeners, brother. Come on.
Without putting my foot in my mouth. Because you have to understand. You have to understand that it's a bigger picture than just a fight. You have to understand
mm-hmm.
that it's a business behind it. You know, it's definitely
mm-hmm.
business behind this fight. You know, all right, y'all. It's definitely business behind it. I'm being brutally honest right here. This is my honest feeling. If Canelo makes this, I don't want to make it seem like the fights are fixed. But if Canelo makes this a close fight, I wouldn't be surprised if they give it to him. The reason why is because the business behind it. Floyd Mayweather is on his way out. People would not be able to make money no more for Floyd Mayweather. Canelo Alvarez is a younger fighter, a new fighter. You know, when Floyd, everyone knows that Floyd is on his way out of the sport. Who will be these new faces? Oh, my goodness. A manager or a promoter will love to have the new face of boxing.
Of course.
If Canelo makes this a close fight, it's very conceivable of them giving the fight to him. If Canelo makes this fight a fight like Cotto made it, I think it's a big possibility that fight would be given to him.
You know, that's a very good point because it's very subjective. And a lot of people will talk about like it's shady, but it's just very subjective. It's no different than a big, big star on a basketball team, like, say, Tim Duncan. You breathe on the guy and he gets the benefit of the calls. Okay, that's pretty much the same thing in boxing. The judges, well, it's Canelo Alvarez. He obviously is going to land a harder, more impactful, consequential shots, even if Floyd actually, you know, taps him 10 more times during the round. Well, obviously the heavier, cleaner, more impactful shots were by Canelo. You know,
even if you look at the Adrian Broner fight with Paulie Malignaggi, personally, I like both Adrian and Paulie. My honest opinion, I felt as though that Paulie threw and maybe landed more punches than Adrian, but Adrian's punches had more of the effect. So sometimes it kind of depends on what the judges are actually looking for. You know, but it's oh, man, the business is mean. Yeah, if I was in Canelo's corner, I would tell Canelo to stay close to Floyd. Make it an ugly fight. I tell him to make it an ugly fight. Make Floyd fight him. Make him fight him. Cotto made Floyd fight him. Cotto made Floyd bleed. Stay in his face. Make it a fight. Make it ugly. Make it ugly. Touch him to the body. He turned his shoulders. He want to turn and roll. Hit him in his arms. Hit him in his shoulders. Don't aim for his head. Hit the biggest target of the body. Leave his head alone. Stay at his body. Make the fight as ugly as possible. push him in the corner, rough him up. If I was Floyd in his corner, I would tell Floyd, I don't care what Canelo does, make this fight as neat as possible. You want all your shots to be landed outside. You want to stay on the outside. You want it to be clean. You want to win. It's no question of a doubt that you landed the cleaner and flusher punches. So it's, I can't wait to see it. It's going to be an exciting fight.
Well, that was a tremendous, tremendous assessment. And quite honestly, I'm in agreement with you. I mean, the business, you know, thinking of it in a business, unless there is a clean knockout, if it's even just a competitive fight, I can see there being a rematch if the numbers do as well as everyone says that they're going to. Because if you remember, a lot of people were clamoring for an Oscar Floyd rematch until Floyd retired and until De La Hoya got knocked out by Manny Pacquiao. But so even if it's just competitive, either way, yeah, I think we're going to see a rematch. The only chances there is if Saul Canelo Alvarez gets knocked out or just thoroughly beaten. Yeah, that's the only chance I see in there not being a rematch.
Oh, it's definitely a business. It's definitely a business. It's definitely more than just two guys in there fighting their hearts out and giving it 110%. It's definitely more than that.
That's right. And you know what, Gary? It's just staggering how well you understand the business side of boxing. And credit to you guys for, again, doing the best thing for your career. And, again, the best is yet to come from Mr. Gary Russell Jr. Gary, unfortunately, we're at the end of your segment, my friend. It always seems to fly by when you're on the air, brother, because you're always so insightful. But we want to give this last minute to you to address your fans who are anticipating your very first title opportunity.
Oh, man, just stay tuned. Stay tuned. You know, I've been only professional for maybe 4 years now. I'm only 25 years old. We got a lot more to go. We got a couple more years behind us, and it's going to be exciting. It's going to be amazing. The guys who everyone feels as though is superior, they'll be my stepping stone. They'll be my stepping stone, you know, and just look forward to me continuing to be who I am, exciting, explosive, fast. We ready.
Well, I tell you what, Gary, we can't wait to see it, my friend. And, yeah, we're going to be watching, brother. And we would love to invite you back on the show as soon as your next big fight is announced. And before I leave you, congratulations on the newest addition to the Gary Russell Jr. clan, my friend. Please make that announcement here on the show, brother.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate it. My family is definitely now complete. I have three girls. Three girls. I guess God made it fit for me to be surrounded by beautiful women.
Well, congratulations, Gary, and we think you're doing a great job, brother. You keep up the good work, and we look forward to seeing you back in the ring at 100%. We don't want to see anything less than the best version of Gary Russell Jr., my friend.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate it.
Thank you so much for being on the show, sir. You have a good evening, and we look forward to speaking to you once again when that big fight is announced, brother. You have a great evening, sir.
You too.
Well, guys, that was the former Olympian, highly touted featherweight prospect, Mr. Gary Russell Jr. But that's only the first hour of the show, guys. We do have a lot more to come. JK, is the hard-punching Antonio Orozco currently in the queue, sir?
No, sir, but you could have Mr. Paul Majewski.
Wow, we have middleweight prospect Mr. Patrick Maszewski. Outstanding. Guys, it is always a privilege to feature.
Hello, Joseph.
it's Patrick Majewski here.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what happened to my host here. It seems like he's dropped off the face of the earth. But Mr. Majewski, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. I'm doing really great. You know, I had a beautiful day. I had a good sparring, good training. Came back home from North Jersey to South Jersey. Ran on Ocean City Boardwalk. Jumped to the ocean to cool down after. Now I'm just chilling. I'm about to do some dishes over here just for fun.
Joseph, I...
Patrick, are you there, sir? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, you know, you're coming in loud and clear. Patrick, it's always an honor to feature you, brother. I was very impressed with your vigor of the fight game and your knowledge of the fight game. And self-admittedly, you've been learning on the job, you know, and you started at kind of a, I guess, a late age in turning pro. But you've got a huge fight coming up in Denmark. It's part of a really, really big fight card where they're going to be featuring Miss Brekus, I guess, in the co-main event. But you're going to be facing a very highly touted prospect, undefeated guy. You know, do you feel that they're treating you as merely an opponent and not a legitimate middleweight contender?
You know what, I do not feel, but I know I was just thinking about this. They're probably thinking to choose some guys for him who he can beat and move on. But, you know, this fight is more like also for me, for myself. I want to test myself to go against a young wolf, you know, and see the results.
Yeah, you know, Patrick Nielsen, undefeated, 19-0, 9 knockouts. This is going to be for the WBA Intercontinental Middleweight title. Obviously, whoever wins this fight is going to be considered down the line for a big, big fight against Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, the kingpin right now in the middleweight division. Is that the master plan? Is that what you're looking forward to? And is this why you really want to defeat Mr. Patrick Nielsen on September 7th?
No, I'm just not looking yet behind this fight. I'm looking for this fight for eight weeks. We are preparing. We are, you know, study good in the gym training. And I know, I'll be honest with you, I never was thinking about this. What is the next step after it? You know, whatever my promoters, Global Boxing Promotion, do it, put me to it. And, you know, the same, like, this proposal came for this fight. I say, yeah, we agree with all my team, and, you know, we're getting ready. Let's get it on. And, you know, see the results on this fight. I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm saying see the results, but, you know, I'm ready to go and giving all over there in this fight.
You know what's amazing is that, yeah, you're originally from Poland, and you've got a huge Polish fan base there in New Jersey, Atlantic City. How is it going to be? I mean, you're originally from Poland. How is it going to be fighting in Denmark, man, fighting in Europe again?
You know what? I never fought, actually, in Europe. All my fights held in the United States.
That's
you
right.
You know, and most in AC was my crowd. And when we fought in Newark, it was Polish crowd. I fought in Memphis and in Florida. I was the guest over there, kind of. But, you know, if you look at this, it's always the same ring as in the gym, only more people around there. Yeah, of course, they'd be cheering for more for him. You can hear it. The same I was fighting here in Newark, and you know, 1,000 people was chatting Majewski, but you know, they cannot help you in the ring. You know, you gotta go focus really on your opponent, what's coming back at you, and fight there. So you know, concentrating on my opponent, not on the fence. I'm gonna have a fun with the fence after the fight. I hear in Denmark they have a really, really good beer. You know, I was thinking maybe we should drink just a couple beers before to get more aggressive in the fight, but I'm not a big of a drinker, and even if I drink one, I'm really more calm than aggressive, so it's really beer, it's not really with me, you know. After one beer, I maybe dance Macarena in there, so I don't let it happen.
Well, definitely wait until after the bout, brother, and then you can throw down a cold one if you'd like.
Yeah, you know, I'm just joking about the beer, so I'm not really too big of a drinker.
But yeah, Denmark actually does have pretty fine beer, man.
Uh-huh.
I'm not gonna lie about that, brother. But, you know, they have a lot of very, very rabid fight fans in which they do support their own very fervishly. We've all seen that when the Great Dane actually comes out and he fights. We're talking about Mikkel Kessler, the Viking Warrior. I mean,
right. His
fight fans are diehard. And I'm sure they're really going to be supporting all of Cecilia Breakhouse, as well as Patrick Nielsen. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for the most hostile environment possible, my friend?
You know, we are pro fighters. We got to be ready for everything. You know, so, I got to be just a strong focus over there during this fight. I know the fans and everybody's going to be there on his side, but that's what we agree going to this fight, you know, to fight on his backyard, not on mine. So, you know, he's a WBA interim champion. You want to get his title, you want to go fight on his territory. So that's what we're going to.
So when you and your handlers decided, this is we're ready, this is the next logical step, and when you were presented with this opportunity to go fight for the WBA Intercontinental Middleweight title, was there any hesitation on your handler's part, or did they realize, hey, you're ready for this next step?
Yeah, you know, but also, yeah, of course, but also if you look at my career, I'm a 21-1, yeah, so it's a lot of fights. Plus, I'm 33 years old, too. I'm ranked whatever, WBC, WBO. You know, I'm not ranked yet in WBA, so that after this fight, I'm going to be up there. So you know, there is really, for me, nothing to wait for. I fought very good tough fights, you know, but not really no names yet. So I think it's time for me to step up a little bit, step up, you know, and move forward and see how far I can go.
You know, you know, that's a very good point. And this is a business after all. When you get to a certain age, and 33 years old, it seems to be prime time for most middleweight fighters.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm feeling very, very young as a 33 years old. But, you know, I'm feeling great right now, and you never know what's going to be next year, next another year. You know, I hope I can go till like Bernard Hopkins, till, 40-some years old. But, you know, if you got to do it, you got to do it now. Hello?
Yeah, it seems like my host has lost his string again. I don't know. Maybe he's walking around the room or something, yeah?
I know what happened. We talked too much about these beers, and he's already getting on.
I'm sorry. What was that, Patrick?
I'm sorry. It seems like you are very sober. My bad. I really do apologize.
No, I apologize. It's my apologies. we seem to be getting disconnected because there are a lot of listeners on tonight's show. I keep getting kicked off the switchboard here. So my apologies, Patrick.
No, he's great. Anyway.
But that's how many people are listening tonight. I mean, this fight, very, very important. You know, what is the end game? What do you hope to accomplish, Patrick? I mean, do you have aspirations of winning a world title? Because the last time we spoke to you, you know, you didn't really see yourself as a kid becoming a professional fighter. And I don't know if you plan to make it even this far. What is the end game for Patrick Majewski?
Yeah, you know, like back then I never thought I'd be a pro fighter when I was fighting amateurs, you know. Now, you know, because hard work and dedication and really love to the sport, love to get better, you know. I see, you know, doing all these many years, nice journey, training with the great people, meeting all the, you know, new friends, new fans. So it got me to this point. And now I see, light in the tunnel, when I can really go and get this world title shot and do really good. So I really like every day, you know, I feeling better and start believing in myself more. That's, you know, and I think that's a great thing happened to me right now. I really start believing. You know, back then there was you hear the voices. Oh, he started late. He's so green. He's so white. He got no rhythm. You know, so there are so many. You know, but I don't really. But the thing is, everybody are entitled to their own opinions. You know, all fans. You know, somebody like you, somebody don't. You know, somebody criticize you, but it's okay. But yes, I see some big things coming for me, and I just will keep doing what I'm doing. Keep getting, you know, good tough fights. Because if you wanna be the best, you gotta beat the best. So we gotta step up, and see the results. And I'm saying see the results. We're working really hard and focusing really in the gym to get better and to be ready for a better competition.
You know, and that's a great attitude to have. And, yeah, it's very exciting when this starts to happen. I mean, when a fighter is working his way up and, you know, he's just there in the gym and he's winning some regional fights, and then all of a sudden he starts getting calls of global interest, and all of a sudden it starts to get very interesting. And obviously that's what you're starting to experience. It's starting to get really exciting, and it sounds like you're really starting to believe that this is really going to materialize in an eventual world title shot. That's very exciting, Pat, because you have a lot of fans in and around the Atlantic City, New Jersey area, and I'm truly convinced with your exciting fight style that all you need is that exposure. And I think you're going to be one of the new exciting fighters of the middleweight division. Is that what you feel you need? And is this what this fight serves as? Is this the opportunity that you think you need that's going to springboard you to greater opportunity?
You for sure it will springboard me in Europe there, because before I had a proposal to fight Patrick Nielsen. I didn't know who he is, and probably that he was the same about me. He didn't know who am I, you know. I'm just honest with you, like, because you see all the big names in middleweight, you know, like Sergio Martinez, Kelly Pavlik, Jermaine Tedros, and he's clicking some names, you know. So. I'm saying, yes, we all need the exposure, but we got to earn it. Earn it how? You know, to fight a good fight and fight really tough fighters, you know, and fight, TV fights, you know, whatever, Showtime, HBO, ESPN, you know, that's how it happened. Yeah, we need the exposure, but we need to earn, I think, this exposure.
You know, in looking at this fight, and this is going to be the last question. We're almost at the end of your segment, Patrick, and want to thank you for being on the show. Patrick Nielsen, you know, young fighter, only 22 years old, already has 19 fights, has won them all decisively, 9 KOs, has a good amateur pedigree, but do you feel that your maturity at 33 years of age is going to be the decisive factor going into this fight?
You know what? I think here, no matter what I say, what I feel, everything will show in the fight, in the ring. You know, because I have a 22 fights. He got 19. He got some good amateur experience. I think we kind of even all this level. I'm a little bit older. He's younger. That's here. But all question it be answered there in the ring doing a fight, I think.
Anyway, it's going to be exciting, and hopefully we can find a link, find a streaming link so we can catch it online here in the States. It's going to be in the co-main event, guys. Patrick Majewski versus Patrick Nielsen in the co-main event with the big Cecilia Brakus and Alexandria Castillo fight out of the Arena Ford in Frederikshavn, Denmark. I tell you what, Patrick, it is always a pleasure to feature you on the show, brother. And we hope to have you back after you're successful on September 7th in Denmark, my friend.
You better have me back on this show because I'm really honored to be, you know, with you on the on your audition.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time, Patrick. You're always a pleasure to speak to, my friend. Best of luck to you, brother. And get there nice and early, man, so you don't have any jet lag come time of the fight.
Yes, I'll be, you know, ready with all those beers because my brother and sister, they're living, you know, in Poland, so they're going to be there waiting for me with all those beers right there, so I'll be ready.
I love it. Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you
best
so much
luck
for having
we'll
me.
We'll be watching
and,
on September 7th, my
yes,
friend.
Yes, and if all the boxing fans are listening right now, I want to say hello to everybody. I really do appreciate it, all the fans, you know, because if not them, the boxing be not that big. Of course, we're doing a big show, but they are coming to see our fight. They are watching us in the TV, buying pay-per-views, so I really appreciate that, you know, all the work they're doing for us, too. So I say hello to all the boxing fans. Really, best regards, guys.
Looks like our host maybe got it. Joseph, are you there?
Yes, it's Patrick. I'm still here.
All right, Patrick. Well, thank you very much for a great interview, and we hope to have you back when you're successful in Denmark.
All right. Thank you for having me. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you, Patrick.
Okay, bye.
Well, our next guest is up.
I apologize for technical difficulties. I keep getting thrown out of the queue. But now that I'm back on the air, DK, am I going to be introducing the victorious Mr. Antonio Orozco?
Not until 7:40, Mr. And right now, you have the young phenom, Mr. Bates, in the queue, along with his manager, Mr. Norman Smith, Jr.
Hello, we're here.
Good, I apologize. Guys, it is a pleasure to welcome for the first time to the Pugilist Corner, super bantamweight prospect, as well as his trainer, Mr. Marvin Bates. Marvin, how are you, sir?
No, his name is Marcus Bates. He's the fighter, super bantamweight, future world champ, and I'm Norman Smith, his manager.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. Marcus Bates, I apologize. Wow. I'm sorry. I was given wrong information. My apologies, sir. Well, I tell you what. You know, this is a very, very exciting weight division. So, Mr. Smith, tell us a bit more about your fighter, Marcus. How long have you been with him? How long has he been ice fighter?
Well, I'll turn the mic over to Marcus and let him tell you all that. But I just saw Marcus recently. He's 1-0 with one KO. This will be his second fight, September the 7th, on the Keystone card. And he's fighting a kid named Johnny Portello out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Very good. I can see that. And that fight card's going to be, yes, at the Rosehoff Raceway in Fort Washington, Maryland. So, Marcus, you know, what is the biggest difference that you experienced when you made your pro debut, I guess, on June 8th? What was the biggest difference? I know going in with the small gloves, no headgear. How was it? What kind of experience was that? Because it looks like you made short work of your pro debut, my friend.
It was fun, you know. It was a learning experience. I went in there. I trained hard for the fight, went in there, listened to my coach and my manager, and went in there and got the job done.
Wow. So what for anyone who hasn't yet seen you fight out of the DMV area, what style, who were big influences as you were learning the craft, and what would you say your style most closely, I guess, imitate?
Roy Jones. I would say Roy Jones.
Yeah, Roy Jones.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. So, wow, I mean, you know, that's what's amazing and what always separated Roy Jones from everyone was his elite level athleticism. Now, I guess this would be an answer for you, Coach. Coach, let me ask you, does he have potential elite athleticism in the super bantamweight division?
Yes, he does. Let me say this. His coach is his dad. He's not here right now. Coach B and Larry Bell are, Coach B is his head trainer, who is his dad. Larry Bell is his assistant. They're not here right now. But as far as Marcus, man, I'll tell you what. Former world champions like DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley said, hey, man, this kid is the goods. You know, it's just one guy. I mean, you had Hall of Famer Mark Two-Shop Johnson's dad over there today saying, hey, man, he reminds me so much of Two-Shop when he first started out. So when you have guys like that in the DMV speak highly of this kid, man, I mean, he's the goods. I don't know what else to say other than tune in to September the 7th and watch him work.
Wow, that's going to be incredible. And, you know, how extensive was your amateur background, Marcus? How many amateur fights did you have, my friend?
I had 14 amateur fights.
14 amateur fights, and is it?
Guess how many knockouts? Yeah, guess how many knockouts out of those 14?
Yeah, I'm guessing 14.
It was 12. I mean, it was close. It was a dozen.
Wow, that's very impressive. Well, did you feel the need to jump in the professional realm? Because I guess if you model your I guess style most closely resembling Roy Jones Jr., then, yeah, if you have a pro style, then there's really no need to really stay in the amateurs for a lengthy period of time. Was that the case? Is that why you guys made the decision to turn pro in June?
Well, he had a daughter. It was just time. He's 19 years old, and we at the team, we talked about it, and we just felt it was the time.
Yeah. I feel like I'm ready. My team feel like I'm ready, so. Here we are.
Sky's the limit. Team Bates.
I love it. I love the enthusiasm. I love the confidence. And who are you guys currently working with in the gym to help you? You know, because I don't like to refer to anybody in the gym as sparring partners because you guys are all helping each other for your own individual causes. So who do you have actually helping you in the gym as far as sparring work and just moral support in the gym? Who are you working with there, Marcus?
I'll let Marcus finish the conversation, but anybody who weighs 119 to 130 that's a professional that wants to get in there with Marcus, we take on all comers. He spawned 10 rounds every day.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, nobody don't really want to get in the ring with me this far. Most of the people say I hit too hard, I'm too fast, they can't hit me.
And if you only knew how hard it was for us to book this fight, the matchmaker, Brian Dillon, he did a great job. We want to send a shout-out to Brian. There's three different guys turned the fight down. One guy, I'll call him out. First guy turned the fight down was Malcolm Williams. He was a debut guy from the D.C. area. He didn't want to fight. Mm-hmm. Another guy from this area, Shadid, I forgot, Floyd, who was 1-1, he didn't want to take the fight. And I can't even remember the third guy that they couldn't get. But we did find a guy who was willing to take the fight. He's from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, named Johnny Patella. And we just can't wait to September the 7th. Right, Mark?
Right.
Wow. Boy, that sounds so, you've got speed. You've got power. And that's going to be a big, big problem, actually. Just from my experience working with regional promoters, trying to actually work your way up, without the benefit of having a guy like, say, Al Haymon or Cameron Duncan management getting you various fights across, you know, all over the world, it'd be very difficult in that region to actually get the appropriate fights who are going to want to face you. And the guys that who will be willing to face you, I don't know if the commission is going to approve it. This is always a big problem with hungry young fighters who have a ton of talent. Do you see this happening down the road, or have you already been experiencing this?
Well, yeah, locally, they've already told us that no one in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia, we call it the DMV area, wants to fight them. So we already know that, you know, by January, we're going to have to come out west. But we look forward to it. Right, Chad?
We're ready.
We're ready.
I love it. I love it. Have you actually been in, have you, because I know Gary Russell, he's currently signed with Al Haymon, probably the most powerful manager and advisor in all of boxing. Have you actually been negotiating with Al? Have you received any phone calls from Al? Have you had any conversations with him as of yet?
I haven't received any phone calls from him, but I see him out there all the time out of Vegas. I'll be back out there with him on the 12th and the 16th, and every time I'm out there, I'm always, you know, telling him about Marcus. His exact words to me in the lobby of the MGM was, the race is to get to 10, and once you get that guy to 10, give me a call and we'll make it happen.
That's amazing. Well, I tell you what, like I stated, that's a challenge in itself. There's going to be a lot of problems trying to get fights that are going to be, I mean, you're going to have a hard time finding people wanting to fight this gentleman if he is that talented. And Marcus really sounds like he is very, very talented, especially when you talk about his style, his power, his speed. Is people already avoiding him? Yeah. It's going to be somewhat of a – but all I can say is, Marcus, be patient, my friend. Be patient and let your team guide you in the right direction. Let them pick the right fights for you, because Al Haymon is exactly right. As soon as you get to 10-0, then he can start putting you on the networks. Then you can start making your appearances on ESPN, Bella Futura, Showbox, and that's when the magic starts to happen, my friend. But, Marcus, it almost seems like it's you can't wait. And I can hear your fervor. I can hear your enthusiasm. You want to fight the best tomorrow, don't you, man?
Yes, sir. I'm ready right now.
He's ready. He's ready to go, man. He's ready to go. He's like a caged animal, a beast.
I love it. I love it. Well, that's exactly what the sport needs, guys. And Marcus, when did you actually start boxing? When did you actually first put on, a pair of gloves and realize, wow, this is something that I'm good at?
I think I was 16 years old when I first put on a pair of gloves. And when I first got in the ring, it was like, whew. I love this, so I'm still here. And now I'm 19, and I'm a beast. Nobody can stop me.
Wow. That's awesome, man. How tall are you, Marcus? Because I'm looking up your box record. It doesn't have any of your height and your reach available yet, because you only have one fight under your belt.
5'4". 122, full of muscles.
Did you hear that?
No, we good. What was that again?
5'4", 122 pounds, all muscle. Baby Tyson.
Oh, man. And you say, okay, now it's September 7th that you're coming back, or that you'll be in the ring again?
Yes, September 7th, Rose Cross Rumble in Fort Washington, Maryland, the racetrack.
Okay, let's see.
And we want to thank you guys for the interview also.
Well, so let me ask you, so what, I understand that Marcus really wants to get after it. I mean, that's just part of being a young pro, you know, he's confident. He's had that success in the gym. He had that amazing one-punch knockout against Joshua in his pro debut. But how realistic, how active do you want him in the next year? How many times do you want him to fight?
Well, we have Marcus booked. He's fighting September the 7th. He's fighting October the 4th. He's fighting October the 18th. He's fighting November the 23rd, and sometime in December. So we plan to be 5-0 going into the first part of the year. In January, we'll be right back at it. We're going to fight once a month, just like his stablemate, Dusty Hernandez Harrison, does.
Wow, that's amazing! Wow, so yeah, you plan to be 10-0 before the end of easily maybe even the summer of 2014. Is that the plan, guys?
This time next year we'll be 10-0, 11-0.
I love it. Well, you know, Marcus, I have to ask you, man, because there are a lot of fighters who aren't necessarily fans of the fight game, but they just fight because they're good at it and they love fight. As in the case of, say, someone else from the DMV area like Tony Thompson, you know, he does it because he's good at it. Self-admittedly, he's not a huge fight fan, so to say. He understands it, and he's got a lot of friends in the business, but, you know, it's just something that he's really good at. Marcus, are you a diehard fight fan, or do you just do this because you are exceptional at it?
I love boxing. I eat, sleep, boxing. I don't think I do nothing but box.
I love it. So who are some of your favorite fighters, my man?
Floyd, Roy Jones. You know, it's a lot of great fighters out there that I look up to. But them the top two, Roy and Floyd.
So who do you think's going to win?
That's a great group, right? Both of them pound for pound on the pound for pound list of all time.
Yeah, that's definitely probably the best two fighters that you could probably look up to, my friend, in this era of boxing, that's for sure. But, you know, very quickly, we're almost at the end of your segment, brother, but how do you see this Floyd versus Canelo fight coming out? Does Canelo stand a chance? He is by far the biggest, strongest opponent that Floyd has faced up to this date. But, yeah, are the Mexican fight fans going to be disappointed come September 14th?
It's like taking candy from a baby.
I agree.
It's like taking candy from a baby.
Florida's going to give him a box and a lesson.
Yeah.
Wow. So let me ask you, Coach, how do you actually see this fight playing out? Talk us through this, my friend.
Marcus and I, we were just sitting here actually waiting on you guys to call. We're sitting there eating dinner, just talking. I mean, I told him, like, if the knockout comes, we take it, you know, but we're not going to go looking for it because it's like staying in the gym. He knocked two sparring partners down. I mean, it just comes, and I told him his power is his speed. As long as he just goes and does what his dad and his trainer says, you know, it'll be an easy night. Hard work, dedication, easy work.
I love it. Well, I tell you what, Marcus, to help you promote this event on September 7th at the Rosecroft Raceway, to all of the people who are listening in the DMV area, please give them a little taste of what to expect come September 7th at the Rosecroft Raceway in Fort Washington, Maryland, my friend.
I'm going to give them a little speed, a little power, a couple of tricks. And if the knockout comes, if it's there, I'm going to take it.
It's going to be a great night because Keystone Boxing is the number one boxing promotion in the DMV area. And we're just happy that they gave us the opportunity to be on this show.
Outstanding. Well, I tell you what, guys, it's a real privilege to meet the both of you. And Marcus, I tell you what, we'll be keeping our eye on you. I'm sure sky's the limit, brother. We can't wait to see how your career unfolds. But, guys, if you want to see it live and in person, it's going to be happening at the Rosecroft Raceway in Fort Washington, Maryland, in a four-round bout against John Portillo. And, again, that's Marcus Bates, 1-0 with knockout power, precision, and speed. Guys, I want to thank you for being on the Pugilist Corner tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we want to thank you, too.
Thanks for having us. We look forward to talking to you on September the 8th.
Outstanding. We'd love to have you back after you take care of business, brother.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You guys have a great evening. Thank you.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Well, guys, I stand corrected. That was Mr. Marcus Bates out of the DMV area. My apologies. And we will have that information corrected on the press release very, very shortly. But, guys, last but definitely not least, he was on this fight card at the StubHub Center in Carson, California. And he looked very impressive, showing speed, power, tenacity, everything you love to see in an up-and-coming prospect, especially when you're referring to the most packed division in boxing. Introducing once again to the Pugilist Corner, junior welterweight prospect, Mr. Antonio Orozco. Antonio, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, dang, dude. What a presentation, man. Thank you.
Well, dude, we should be thanking you, brother, after the show that you put on at the StubHub Center. That was awesome.
Man, well, I mean, what can I say? You know, it's just like how the pound for pound king says it. What's his name? Just how Mayweather says it, you know, hard work and dedication.
So, you know, and that's absolutely right. And, you know, that's what separates Floyd Mayweather from everyone else who wants to be Floyd Mayweather. It's amazing. You know, out of all the flash and all of the money that he throws around and all of the bravado, you look at him and in his camp and everyone around him knows that he still remembers and will never forget everything that it took to get to that level, and you see it in each and every preparation for every opponent, and this fight is nothing different. Is that something that you look at? Has that become somewhat of a model for you in this point forward, Antonio?
You know, with all the success that he has reached, you know, it's definitely something that you look at, you know, something that you have to keep in mind, you know, something that you learn from and something that you should imitate, you know? And, I mean, it's like he says it best. I mean, that's why he is where he is now. And, I mean, it's something, like you say, you know, it's a role that every fighter that wants to be successful has to follow.
You know, it's amazing. I'm really, really happy that Showtime has offered that extended coverage on Showtime Extreme. So we could actually watch you fight. We could also watch Jojo Rios. We could, you know, we could fight or we could see all of these great fights on the undercard that we wouldn't ordinarily see on someplace like HBO. You know, has this been impactful in your career thus far?
Oh, definitely. You know, I have to thank, you know, Golden Boy, Frank, and Showtime, you know, for, like, allowing me, you know, to be part of a, you know, because this is new, you know, Showtime Extreme, you know, it's something new. And this has opened the doors to getting that exposure that I need. So to answer your question, yes, you know, it's something that I need. And, I mean, I'm still, you know, if they gave me any opportunity that I receive from them, you know, I will most definitely take it and, you know, thank them for it.
Yeah, you know, it was, it's funny. A lot of people actually came up to me after the fight card and said, wow, this has to be really disappointing for Frank Espinoza and Golden Boy Promotions that Abner Matas got knocked out in the first round. And I said, wait a minute. No, it's not. If anything, they've got more big money options from this point going forward, because Frank actually represents not only you, who is really successful, but he also represents Mr. Johnny Gonzalez, who is successful in taking the title from Abner Matas. You know, is that the case? Because a lot of people that are just looking at it from a fan's point of view and just in the sport of it, they forget that this is a business, and this is what it's all about, creating big opportunities for each and every one of those fighters in the Espinoza and Golden Boy stable. Isn't that the way it really is?
Yeah, you know, it has to be. I mean, everybody wants to put on a great show, you know? And, you know, Frank, like you said, you know, he has a lot of fighters that are up and coming and that have that champion potential, you know, and they both guys have, you know, done very well, have guided my career very well, you know, and, I mean, I hope I can, you know, one day just be in the same spot that Johnny Gonzalez and Abner Matas were in.
Well, brother, I'm sure you will be. You keep on knocking guys out like that. That was awesome. Ivana Nemdez, he is a tough guy. Comes into the ring 29-3. Very good record, decent resume. And, wow, what was so successful? How did you actually set that final third round up? Because in the third round, you just put him away. How did you slowly break him down over two rounds, Antonio?
I'll just give you like a little insight on what happened, you know, prior to the fight. You know, as a trainer, as a fighter, you like to have a little bit of background information on the guy we're going to fight, you know. And it was, I got to say, it was very difficult to find anything on Ivan Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very hard to find out any write-ups, video. You know, we couldn't find anything. You know, I pretty much went to the fight almost fighting, you know, the ghost, because we didn't know. So, I mean, we did so much sparring. You know, we got sparring from different guys, you know, different styles, and we were confident, you know, that we were ready for whatever came. Now, coming down to the fight, we noticed the very first round, you know, that he was going to be a defensive type of fighter. You know, he was, you know, stepping back, working his jab. And it was something that I had to make it work to my advantage. You know, and being a pressure fighter that I like to be, you know, I took advantage of that opportunity, you know, to set everything up. I mean, this was like controlled aggression. You know, I couldn't just jump all over him and make a mistake. So, I mean, once we cleared that first round and we kind of got a feeling of it, you know, the second round was just to pick up the pace a little bit more. That's how I've been, you know, working. That's how my trainers like me to work, as to pick up the pace with every round. And then that third round, you know, just the body shots started connecting. You know, my combinations started coming together. And it was just, I mean, I can't explain it to you. You know, I'm not the, I can hardly recall any combination that I would throw. You know, I just work off of instinct. You know, it's like, it's just programmed in my mind, and it just like takes transition down to my footwork, to my handwork, and that's how I do it. So,
but that's why you put all of that time in the gym. So when it comes time to the fight, it's almost automatic now, isn't it?
Yes, that's how I like it to be, you know, where it's just, you know, walk in the ring, flip that switch, get into fight mode, you know, aggression, and just have it all come together automatically. And when I, you know, once I get into that mode, then it's, you know, I just have to make sure I do it correctly.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, you sure did, brother. Wow, knockout in the third round. You had your man down three times, you know, in the final round of the evening. But I have to ask you, because we know you had the best seat in the house, Antonio. What were your thoughts when you saw in the main event of the evening your friend Abner actually sitting out in no man's land and getting caught with that left hook late in the first round of their of the main event of the evening?
Oh, I'm pretty sure my thought was as good as everybody else. Shock. No, nobody was expecting it.
My goodness. I mean,
it was... I couldn't really, like, explain, you know. My wife was sitting next to me, and she was just like, why do you have such a blank, like, stare on your face? Because I was just surprised, you know. What can you say in a situation like that? You know, I think he said it best. You know, he's going to, you know, I like what he said. You know, how he said that he did not come into sports to stay undefeated, you know? And, mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that a fighter should look at. You know, it's boxing. You can expect anything. And I think from this point on, it's going to, a loss is not going to define him. You know, what's going to define him is how he comes back and how he recollects his career back together. And I'm sure he will, you know? I mean, he has, for the past three fights, fought, you know, the top, the people at the top, the best fighters. And, I mean, I don't think you can take very much credit away from him. I mean, it was not his night, and so he just has to come back. That's all it is.
You know, that's absolutely right. And you know what's amazing is ever since the emergence of Floyd Mayweather Jr. as this global superstar and the biggest draw in boxing, it almost seems like the casual fan and the mainstream sports fan, they put this ridiculous emphasis on an undefeated resume when throughout the history of boxing, that's never, ever, ever been a very realistic issue. You know, do you think that networks and fight fans put way too much importance on the undefeated resume, brother?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and it's just not that they see, you know, an undefeated record. I mean, there's a lot more that goes, you know, behind the cameras that, you know, fans don't see, you know, that fans are not there to witness. You know, there can be, you know, family problems that a fan will never see. You know, there's like
right.
Various things that a fan has no clue of what's going on in a fighter's life, that they just jump on him right on the first thing. Oh, he looked bad. You know, oh, that was his worst performance ever. But they have no idea what's going on. I mean, us fighters, we have personal lives too. You know, our life is not just put on a mean face and go dig it out with the floor they put in front of you. You know, there's a lot more to a fighter than just fighting. And, I mean, once, you know, fans and, you know, reporters and everybody starts understanding that, you know, maybe they'll get a different comprehension of what it is to be a fighter. You know, it's more than the training. It's more than getting up and doing the war work. I mean, we have families, and that's hard work also.
You know, that's very well stated, brother. Very well put, and you're absolutely right. You know, that's why it's the theater of the unexpected. I mean, it's the great Larry Merchant. He referred to boxing, and always does, as the theater of the unexpected, and it's absolutely right on the money, because there's so many factors that go into a prize fight. Unlike any other sport, you don't have teammates to rely on if you're having a bad day. You know, there's so much that goes into it, the mental, the physical. And let's talk about the physical ailments of fighters. How many fighters do you know of that actually go into a prize fight 100% without any physical ailments?
None.
No.
None.
None. None, that's right.
You know, I feel it's whether it's the smallest physical ailment or the biggest, you know, you're an athlete and you're prone to getting hurt, whether it's in training, you know, whether you're being as safe as possible as you can, no matter how cautious you are, you know, sometimes you can go in there hurt either physically, mentally. I mean, it's everywhere, you know. You just cannot show it, you know. You have to overcome it. That's all it is.
That's right. Is that the reason why so many fighters also actually, because we know Sam Garcia, he's a trainer, and he's also a great poker player. Is that why you guys make such great poker players? Because you practice not changing your expression no matter what kind of bad news you guys actually have running inside your brain.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, the other people are going to see it as weakness, and it is. You know, it is a weakness, and, I mean, in this sport, you want to take advantage of any weakness that you see. So, I mean, you just, it's like the old saying, suck it up, and that's it.
I love it, dude. But, yeah, it is not for the faint of heart. I mean, you know, and it's funny. I wrote an article about Iron Mike Productions and Iron Mike entering the promotional realm, and I told him, you know, I basically started off the article by saying, you know, the only thing crazier than stepping in the ring is actually jumping in the promotional side of boxing. Because it is hard. And, you know, I'm sure you have a lot of respect for Frank Espinoza and Richard Schaefer and Oscar De La Hoya, you know, all of those guys, because it is not easy. I mean, imagine what you have going through, okay, what you have going through your career. Imagine dealing with about 70 of you guys. That's what a promoter like Golden Boy Promotions has to deal with.
And, I mean, I'm pretty sure that I don't think they ever have a smooth day in the office, you know? And, I mean, the purpose that they do it is for the boxing fans, you know? I mean, they themselves are boxing fans, you know? They sometimes they like to step outside of it, of their actual business, and be a fan, you know? And that's what boxing is all about, you know? Having a good time, you know, enjoying a fight. And that's it. I mean, that's what people want. They just want entertainment. You know, it's some brutal entertainment, but hey, we want what we want, right?
Well, you know, and Antonio, if you wonder why I introduce you guys the way I do when you come on the show, is because that's what the show's all about. It's the celebration of the art of boxing and you guys. You know, you guys take enough damage in the ring. You don't need to take any on my show, my friend. So you'll never hear me ever have a disparaging remark about you guys or anything that you do in the ring. My hat's off to you, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, you also make a difference in getting us out there. You know, you give us exposure, you know, throughout the ways, and, you know, it's great. You know, I mean, doing shows like this, you know, I like them, you know. It gives me a little bit of room to speak my mind.
Well, I tell you what, you've got a great mind, brother, and it's amazing the grasp that you have already on the sport of boxing and how difficult it is. And, you know, we need more interviews like this, Antonio. I mean, because this interview has been very enlightening, and it's, I hope you don't mind, it's going to actually turn into an article that's going to appear this weekend on Eastside Boxing, because I think a lot of what you've been talking about, how difficult it is, how, you know, how demanding the sport of boxing is, and how the undefeated record really is very unrealistic. If you continuously fight the best in boxing, you're not going to win them all, are you?
Oh, you know, we would all like it to be that way, but, I mean, it's life, you know. Every once in a while we get that reality check, and I mean, it could either pull you back or, you know, push you forward. So I mean,
well stated, Antonio. Well, I tell you what, brother, we are now at the end of the show, but hey, I want to ask you to look for the article coming out. I'll send you a link to it to your publicist. But thank you so much for this interview. It's been very enlightening. And congratulations once again for taking care of business this past Saturday night at the StubHub Center, brother. I'll give you the final words for your fans, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much, you know, and thank you, everybody. You know, from the bottom of my heart, I mean, it's always great to have fans out there to support us. So thank you very much. Everybody have a great evening, and God bless.
Well, Antonio, thank you so much, brother, and we hope to have you back as soon as your next big fight is announced. But again, look for that article this weekend on East Side Boxing, brother. Thank you once again, Antonio. You're a class act, brother. We love speaking with you. JK, it's about that time, my friend. Take us home, brother.
Yes, sir. We'd like to thank all our guests tonight, Mr. Sugar Hill, Mr. Diego Mandolano, Mr. Gary Russell Jr., Paul Majewski, fighting in Denmark, September 7th, I believe it is, along with the young prospect, Mr. Marcus Bates, and DMV Boxing. And, of course, Antonio Roscoe, taking care of business in San Diego. Have a great one, everyone. We'll see you next week on the Pugilist Corner. And don't forget to catch us Sunday on the Weekend Wrap. Have a great one.